It's my privilege to welcome you today to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wendley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for The More Abundant Life, and today we have message number 195 in our series. The message that Pastor Phipps has chosen to present today is entitled, We Still Believe. Because of the time constraints on our program today and the length of this message, we're going to dispense with our usual special music. I hope you won't mind. And we're going to get right to this message, the message entitled, We Still Believe. Please stay with us for our program today.
My message this morning, We Still Believe. The year 1968 was an unbelievable year. The assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy took our breath away, shook our faith in the fairness and decency of man. The Vietnam War was dragging on. Protests were intensifying. But on Christmas Eve of 1968, a most incredible thing happened. While all on earth seemed chaotic, the astronauts of Apollo 8 were orbiting the moon for the first time in history. It was an amazing, stupendous moment. Somewhere above the forbidding landscape of the moon, the voices of Frank Borman and James Lovell and William Anders began reading to those of us who dwell on Earth the story of creation as found in Genesis 1. From thousands of miles away in space, their voices crackled but came through loud and clear.
All right.
In the beginning,
yes, sir.
God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
As Anders and the other astronauts spoke, the TV camera flashed back to Earth, a remarkable picture of the deeply shadowed lunar landscape. And Borman closed the lunar telecast with these words, good night, good luck, a merry Christmas, and God bless all of you upon the good earth. It was an amazing, stupendous moment. I still get chills thinking about that moment. For the astronauts, it was their way of saying they believed that the earth was placed in orbit by the power of a great and mighty creator. And to me, this moment was one of the most extraordinary in modern times. Extraordinary because it placed in stark contrast two opposing worldviews, two views of the origin of the world. You see, in 1859, Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, appeared. This book, featuring its theory of natural selection, has been called the most significant book of the 19th century. It is the last letter. In his last letter, Charles Darwin is known to have written 3 weeks before he died, he predicted that the time would come when scientists would, in moving away from his own theory, postulate that all life on Earth came originally from non-living matter and through natural processes. This prediction has been fulfilled because today, Darwin's theory of natural selection has been largely replaced in the minds of many scientists by another theory, the theory of organic evolution. Scientists are still working today, brothers and sisters, to find an explanation of how this world as we know it could have happened. As one scientist said, give us time and we will explain everything. For now, the organic theory of evolution as taught today accounts for the origin of mankind this way, and I quote, life on this planet originated several billion years ago when electrical disturbances caused reactions to occur in the chemicals of the primeval ocean, and these reactions produced amino acids, and these amino acids organized themselves into living cells. And as time went on, more chemical reactions caused the descendants of these one-celled organisms to mutate and develop into a variety of types of multi-plants and animals. It's amazing that they thought and teach that we are nothing but grown-up germs. They went on to say that man is the highest product of this development. He is immediately descended from the same ancestors as the apes, more remotely from the same ancestors as all mammals. He is himself still developing. That process is stalled by our present lifestyle. But biologically, it is inevitable. And this is what is taught to our children in the public schools of our day. But there are other theories. There are scientists who have listened with radio telescopes. And they say they have heard remnants of an unimaginable explosion that gave birth 10 billion years ago to the planet Earth and the rest of the universe. Sir Bernard Lovell said in an address to the British Association for the Advancement of Science, as far as he is concerned, the continuous theory of the origin of the universe, meaning that it has always existed as it is now, has been disproved in favor of the Big Bang theory. I always want to know who put the bang in the bang. The Big Bang theory, that a condensate of infinite density shattered into what we now live on and see in the heavens. Lovell said the shape of the universe and the fact that there is life on Earth, perhaps elsewhere in the cosmos also, were probably determined by events that took place in the first second of time. And yet there are other theories. Are you with me today? In 1975, a new theory on the creation of the solar system appeared that includes a giant explosion by a giant star, the core of which slammed backwards into our sun and reversed the direction of its rotation. Among other things, this theory explains, said its originator, Judge Boynton of Geophysics Lab in Berkeley, California, he said, is the origin of the chemical elements above hydrogen in the planets. I know for most of you this is going way over your head. Boynton theorized, it's going over mine. Boynton theorized that the creative process started about 4.5 billion years ago when an iron-rich companion star, 5 to 10 times more massive than the sun, exploded as a consequence of runaway internally generated nuclear fusion. The blast blew more than 99% of the mass forever outwards into space. The residue eventually was pulled together to form the planets of the sun, their moons, and the asteroids. So much for men's theories. Some years ago at a convention attended by the grandson of Charles Darwin, another grandson of a famous British scientist predicted the disappearance of religion from the earth, he said, like a product of evolution like everything else. He said, and listen carefully, through competition with other truer and more embracing thought organizations, he saw no need or room in the evolutionary pattern of thought for supernatural beings capable of affecting the course of events. Let me explain what he was saying is, in other words, we have no need for God because we will be able to explain it all. Reminds me of that day when Sir Isaac Newton had a replica of his solar system made, and in the center of it was the sun with the planets all around it. And a man who didn't believe came in and said to Newton, "What an exquisite thing you have made. Who made it?" Newton said, "Nobody." "What do you mean nobody? You must think I'm a fool." He said, "Of course, somebody made it, and he's a genius." Newton put his book aside and said, "Listen, this is a puny imitation of a grander system. And I'm not able to convince you that this mere toy is without a designer. Yet you profess to believe that the great original upon which you live was brought into being without designer or maker. Now tell me," said Newton, "by what sort of reasoning do you reach such incongruous conclusions?" Some time ago, I came across a fictitious story about a group of men who set out to find an answer to the question where the earth came from. They compiled all the data they could, converging many areas of investigation. They fed it, this story goes, into a mammoth computer. And when they completed their work, they pushed the answer button and waited for the results. And suddenly, lights began flashing and bells began ringing and buzzers began sounding. Then the great moment, the printed message came out. See Genesis 1:1. Men are still trying to explain the mysteries of creation. In MIT, someone put some graffiti on a wall, and it went something like this. It read, "And God said, MV2ZE2 equal RR2H, MVRN2P equal 2P2, and then there was light." It's hard for us to understand the mysteries of creation. One day a woman asked Salvador Dali, "Is it hard to paint a picture?" And Salvador Dali said, "No, it is either easy or impossible."
All right. Yes, sir.
The same answer holds for the creation of the universe. Yes. For God, it was easy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For everybody else, it's impossible.
All right.
God did not leave us in this world in darkness about the creation of the world. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to John 1:1. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. In the beginning. Huh? Somebody hand me a Bible here this morning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. In these verses, John shows that Jesus was more than a man. He was the Word of God. Manifest in the flesh. John makes it clear to us that Jesus is not a created being. He is the creator of every part of the universe. He became a flesh and blood man. But he is not just human and he's not just divine. He is not either or. He is both and. Both human and divine. And the Word of God was made flesh. In the Bible, Jesus was called the Word of God. Now, why does Jesus Christ have this name? Because Jesus Christ is to us what our words are to others.
That's right.
You see, our words reveal to others just what we think and how we feel. Christ reveals to us the mind and heart of God. He reveals to us how God feels about us. He is the living means of communication between God and men. To know Christ is to know God. Amen. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that we still believe. John was saying to us that Jesus is the Word of God. He is God's permanent expression to sinful man. The world was made through him and by him. How many believe that today? As the years have passed since 1968, it has become increasingly unpopular to express belief in a God who created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day and blessed the Sabbath day. It is increasingly unpopular to stand up before scientific men in this modern age and say, I believe that God created the world in 6 days. It is more popular to believe that millions of years and billions of years ago that lightning bolts and chemicals, as one scientist calls, he says that Christians who find comfort, they are people who find comfort in a sheepish resort to the idea of a creator. Brothers and sisters, we still believe that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. We still believe that by the host of them, the breath of his mouth, that he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We still believe. It does not matter what we believe about what other people say. We just want to let the world know what God says. We still believe. And it is important what you believe about how you began. For what you believe about how you got here determines what you believe about where you're going. The Bible says it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. One writer said that the philosopher who finds no meaning in the world is not concerned exclusively with a problem in pure metaphysics. Man, brothers and sisters, don't like the idea of a creator. It is in our nature, sinful nature, to rebel against the idea of a creator. Why? Because you see, if there is a creator, then you stand accountable to the one who gave you life. Modern man does not want to be accountable to anyone. So he dismisses the idea of a creator. And because when you, if you believe that all that is written here, God misled you. How can you trust a God like that? If you don't believe what God says, then you're free to live as you please. What we believe about our beginnings determines what we believe about our future. But we've come this Sabbath morning, as believers have done for centuries, to say we still believe that in the beginning God created. We've come to celebrate the Creator's power. We've come this morning to say that we believe those noble and majestic words that in the beginning God. That's where it started. These words, like no other words, clarify our existence. It makes sense to me. I don't know about you. By faith, it makes sense. It illuminates our understanding like no other words. These words unravel for us great mysteries. They answer for us the greatest question of the ages. Because of these words, we know who we are. Hallelujah. How we came to be. These words in Genesis 1:1, those are important words. They are pivotal words. They are the archway, the door through which you enter all of the rest of the scriptures. In the beginning, they are indeed our first truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These words are the great majestic portal through which we enter the world of faith. It is impossible, brothers and sisters, to understand any other Bible mystery if you don't believe this mystery. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. These majestic words rescue us from every vagrant wind and doctrine. These majestic words liberate us from the shackles of Darwin's theory. Hallelujah today. Few other words in human history have been more contested, more challenged and debated. Few other words have been attacked more repeatedly by armies of philosophers and legions of demons in the form of renegade theories and enlightened transcendent thinking. We believe, however, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Few other words have stood so valiantly against the scientific assumptions and conjectures of men. And from the moment Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven, they have waged war against this word. In the beginning was the word. We still believe, brothers and sisters, by the power of his word, there is power in the word of God. How many of you believe there's power? That's got a lot of power to be able to speak, and it happens. I don't think you're listening to me today. Go with me to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Praise his holy name. Verse 3. And God said. You know, when you look at Genesis, you'll see some words keep coming back at you. God made, God created. But the one that keeps, that shakes you up, I mean, I know what it's like to form something and create something, but I don't understand the power that it takes to speak and flowers come up out of the ground. I don't understand the power that it takes to speak and to see planets form and stars twinkle in the sky. I don't understand that kind of power, but that's the kind of power my God has. That's why if you look at it, Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God said, let, verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Verse 11, and God said, oh my goodness, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb. I told you when he spoke, trees came up out of the ground. Didn't I tell you that? That's the kind of power God has. And verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. Now, you know my God is awesome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come
on. Have you ever gone into the ocean and tried to count the amount of life that's in the ocean? Well, my God said, let the waters bring forth what? Bring forth what? Verse 20. Bring forth abundantly. Woo! The moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly. You ever seen? There's so many flying things in the world today. God said, let them come forth abundantly. Amen? Oh, by the word of God. Every day comes without accident.
That's right. Amen.
By the word of God. Every day comes without chaos. I got to tell you, I've been working with little kids, helping them to understand science and math and reading. And I took them up on a site, and there's a site on the internet where we're able to show them how the world moves. And I got to tell you, most of us really don't understand it, but they use this graphic, kind of a cartoon, And I began to see for the first time, oh Lord, help me to remember what I saw. I saw the earth circling the sun while the moon. What's the moon doing? And all of that's being done in symmetry. No collision. All by the word of God. The power of God. I don't know about you, but I still believe. Aren't you glad for the creation story? You see, without the creation story, we couldn't understand. Listen, without the creation story, we would have no explanation for everything we see. We'd look at the trees. We'd look at the flowers. They would have no meaning. But we know that by the word of God, the heavens were made. Without the creation story, we'd have no reason to believe in anything. But this truth is an anchor to our faith. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Some believe that perhaps there is no more important declaration in Scripture than this. For without the creation story, we would not know who we are.
That brings us to the end of our program today, to the end of the message, and I do hope that you appreciated that message. I know I certainly did. The title, We Still Believe, can be obtained by cassette tape. You may call the Seabrook Church office to do this. That is at phone number 301-577-6342. When you call that number, please request program number 195, which will give you the title of today's message, which was We Still Believe. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as always, I like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. I do hope that you will join us again for another program here, but until you can, please remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
In your heart.